About 10 years ago, I was on a team retreat. I was coaching at University of Utah, and we were at the Arches National Park in Moab. We were also at the Canyonlands National Park, and if you haven't been there, I would really suggest it. It's unbelievable how beautiful that place is. And one night, we were sitting at the Canyonlands watching the sun go down, and it was just an amazing thought, you know, just a scene. And the only thing that could go through my head was just that hymn that we just sang, "This is my Father's world," because it was just such an amazing sight. And you know, I've been around the whole country in 18 different countries, and I thought, wow, this is one place you've got to see. And it's just amazing how it just ties into our scripture for today. It comes from Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 through 31. "The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day is breaking.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Then the man said, 'You will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and the humans and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved.' The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle." The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our brother in Christ for helping us to enter into worship and into the worship of God through his word. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your word, how it reminds us that you continue to speak, that you continue to speak into us. Thank you for the love behind that, through it, and how you fill us with that love. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. My brother and I, as many brothers growing up, found ourselves watching studio wrestling. This was back in Pittsburgh. Studio wrestling had Bruno Sammartino, had Jumping Johnny DeFazio, and also had Batman. Now, you know, in hindsight, I don't know how Batman won anything because he was one of the skinniest wrestlers they ever had. But he was Batman, so of course he's going to win. And my brother and I, being brothers, decided that it was a good idea to get on our couch in our basement and start trying these wrestling moves on each other. Jumping off the couch, trying to get each other to tap out. My mom and dad saw this situation and addressed it as well as any intelligent parents would. They got us a wrestling mat to beat each other up on. The couch was saved for a few more years. Any of us that continue to be fans of wrestling watched the WWE, the World Wrestling Entertainment. Okay, I know a lot of you are fans of that. I can tell looking around in this choir even, seeing all the fans. When you come to worship, which you're in right now, when you pray, when you teach children faith, when you are in the Word of God, you are actually in the WWF, the World Wrestling of the Faithful. You're members of the WWF. Because let's face it, even when we don't necessarily realize it, we are wrestling with God. We're struggling with God. And that struggle is the most worthwhile thing that we can do. Because out of struggle comes discernment. Out of struggle comes growth. Out of struggle comes a deeper relationship with God through Christ. Amen? I don't know if anybody has ever struggled here. I'm not sure. There might be a few of us, pastor included, with one thing or another. As Christians, although it doesn't seem to make sense sometimes, as Christians, we understand that struggle is part of what we are called to be about. Working at something worthwhile. A deeper relationship with God. Working at something that's lasting. An abiding presence of God in us that we pull from at all times and recognize is present at all times and present right there with us in the midst of trials and difficult times. Jacob, it's kind of interesting that he would be one of those well-known characters from the Bible, maybe one of the most well-known characters of the Bible, and someone that directly led to the building up of God's people. But Jacob, of all people, Jacob, remember, was the one that tricked his brother Esau over a bowl of red bean soup. Now that must have been good soup, let me tell you what. For Esau to be willing to go ahead and give up everything. Jacob was the one who tricked his vision-impaired father, Isaac. Jacob was the one who pulled one over on his uncle, Laban, who was trying to pull one over on Jacob. Now you think about messed up family dynamics, Jacob's family was it. So if you're ever having troubles in your family, fear not. It's happened before. And it's in the Bible as well. Jacob, of all people, is the one that God chooses and says, yeah, I'm going to still work through you. We have to give Jacob credit. Because not only in this particular passage, but throughout his life, he was willing to be honest about the struggle with God. I think about the Christians in my life who've had the greatest impact. And I think that most of them have been those brothers and sisters who have been honest about their struggle with God. Who never said to me, oh, everything's perfect. Everything's wonderful. Just accept that relationship with God through Christ and everything from then on out is easy. Rather, helping me to understand that in the struggle, we grow. That relationship with God through Christ doesn't make everything easy, but it reminds us that God's power and love and grace never leave us. That's a lesson, my friends, to embrace, to hold on to. And that we are reminded of in this story of Jacob as he starts crossing over into a whole new beginning. And yet, before he crosses, there are some things that he has to consider. He's going to be literally crossing a body of water. He's going to be crossing over. We might even think about it as a baptism that takes place. Who knows? He's going to be crossing over into a new land. And before that, he has to think about some things. First of all, his brother Esau, who's still around, still well. And after what he did to his brother, he hears that Esau's bringing 400 of his friends. Probably, in Jacob's mind, to give him the worst noogie that a brother has ever given another brother. Maybe even worse. So he's thinking about that. He's thinking about how the fact is that he sent on his family ahead of him, and he's wondering, boy, I wonder if I'll ever see them again. I wonder if that's the last time that I'll ever be with them, my family. Then comes night. And in the Bible, we understand that night signifies times of struggle and growth as well. Certainly, nighttime when darkness descends, but also dark nights of the soul, of the mind, when we're wondering, God, where are you? When we cry out, when we understand that no matter what we say to God, God can take it. That's the kind of God that we have. And Jacob is wrestling with that God. Jacob is fighting with that God. Jacob is struggling with God. I interpret the scripture to mean that. There are a lot of other interpretations. Some would say it was an angel. Some would say it was Esau that had somehow snuck across, decided to wrestle with his brother. Some would say it was some sort of heavenly spirit. I think in that moment when Jacob was truly changed and transformed, it could only have been God who was wrestling with him. God is the one who names us, by the way. Not only giving us our name, but also giving us the name Christian, little Christ, bearer of Christ to the world. Through Jesus Christ, God has named you in that way. And so God could be the only one that would change Jacob's name to Israel, reminding him that there is more to come. Isn't that interesting? That there had to be a struggle for Jacob first to be the person that God would be using in the future. There had to be that struggle inside, that wrestling match with God. No, I want it my way. I still want to do it my way. I want to follow my agenda. And God's saying, no. No, I have so much more for you. I love you more deeply than you can ever imagine. I seek to bring healing into the deepest parts of you. You belong to me. I want you to follow how I am leading you. And the struggle goes back and forth. And finally, when we give up, when we say, Lord, I trust you. My life is yours. Have thine own way, Lord. Here I am, Lord. However you say it, from that point on, we're given a different name. We are God's, and we belong to Him and Him alone. That's what happened to Jacob. That's what took place in his life. And that's what takes place in our lives every time we humble ourselves before God. Those who encounter God in the dark will not only be changed, but will be marked. Left with the wound created by God's wrenching us out of one life and blessing us with a new one. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote in his letters to the churches at Corinth and Ephesus and Philippi. He wrote to them, and he was never, never shy about saying, you know, I'm broken as well. I'm not better than you, but God is at work in me. And that's what I ask you to let happen. God at work in you. But at one point also to the church, to the early church, he says there's something that that I'm carrying. There's a thorn in my side. There's something that is there that reminds me that I am called to be humble before God. That I'm not all that in a bag of chips. For us, we understand that it's not about us or how good we are. It's about how good God's grace is at work in us and through us. It's on God, not on us. It's on God, not about us. It's about God and how God continues to lead us, not the path that we decide, but the path that we seek to follow. For us. For us. God is speaking into our lives today. If there is something that is keeping you humble before God, that's a good thing. It's like God humbled Jacob. That's a good thing. When we realize it's not about us, also, there's some real freedom in that, isn't there? Because then it's no longer, well, I wonder if that person's talking about me. Or you should see how she acts in our meeting. Or you should see how they drive going out of the parking lot at church. They didn't listen to a doggone thing today. It's no longer about that or the other. It's about, what is God speaking to me? Because He speaks to us. Do you believe that? He speaks to us. He speaks to you. Jacob, certainly, his story is written about, warts and all. God is at work in our story, warts and all. God loves us too much to leave us to our own devices. He loves us so deeply. And He wants you to know today that because of what He did for you on the cross through Christ, because of the resurrected Savior, because of His Holy Spirit at work in you, He wants so much more for you to experience His love in this very moment. These moments now that we have time to think about how God is at work and speaking to us, even amidst the struggle, and especially in the struggle, and whenever we have struggles, we can celebrate that. Maybe not walking around saying, I'm struggling, hallelujah. But understand that in the struggle, God works. God is at work as we humble ourselves before Him, before the cross, in the name of Christ. Ponder with me, just a few moments. Think about this as you hear the music play, about maybe a struggle that you're in or have gone through or maybe facing. And how God continues to speak into your life in that part of your journey.